You got to be careful that we're using space heaters and cooking a lot and such. Staff Captain Robert Clary, Tallahassee Fire Department, he'll be with us in the second hour to talk about fire safety. And I've got Dr. Marilyn Proctor, art educator, accomplished artist, talking about art education here in Leon County. And to close out the show, our good buddy Danny Petrosian with a great song just for you and me. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
So we're back again with another exciting edition of this here fine radio show. You can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. Always there for you. We are now closing out our seventh season. So in February of 2019, we begin season number 8. Carl, that's amazing. That's amazing that we're still on the air. Actually, it's amazing that Carl is still with me. I guess the medication is really helping a lot, so that's good. Psychotropic drugs are amazing, aren't they, Carl? Yes. Mood altering, as they are often described. Kind of keeps us all on the straight and narrow around here. Speaking of which, I've got Robert Clary keeping us on the straight and narrow with fire safety. He's going to be with me in the second hour. You know, you love the holidays, right? The cooking and the decorating and the Christmas treeing and the fires and, oh, man, candles. It's just great. It's great stuff. It's lush. It's everything. It's what we love about life. It all kind of comes to bear in these few weeks as we approach Christmas and then on into, of course, New Year's. Meanwhile, we can get stupid real fast with leaving stuff burning that we shouldn't, leaving the room with candles going and space heaters blazing. Man, keeps our friends over there at TFD on the watchtower all the time for us, you know. And so Robert Clary, who you've met before, he's been on the show several times, great guy, firefighter. Heads up education over there for TFD, and he's got a few tips for Moose and you to stay safe. You know, things like fire extinguishers and smoke detectors, yes. But even just the real common sense stuff that, you know, you go, yeah, right, that was dumb. Okay, so don't put your space heater up next to your bed. Not a good idea. And certainly don't leave it on all night next to the draperies. But if... What? Yeah. But how many times these guys and gals end up running out there trying to drag somebody out of a smoke-filled house? And then there's the grease fires. I mean, you think that that's uncommon. It is not, especially if you're dropping your turkey into a vat of peanut oil. Have you not seen the videos for this? Come on. Carl, aren't there plenty of videos about precautions related to deep frying turkeys or anything, you know, deep frying possum, whatever. just be careful, okay? So anyway, Staff Captain Robert Clare will be with me here second hour. Prior to that, dear friend of ours, Dr. Marilyn Proctor, 33 years at Lincoln High School, so many students who have come through her classes have gone on to accomplish great things in the world of art, art history, curation, all kinds of things because of this one woman. And she herself is an amazingly accomplished artist, very, very interesting person. You'll find her, I think, fascinating. I certainly do. And she's going to talk a lot about the state of affairs here for the arts community. You know, Lemoyne is in full swing over there with their holiday show. We had Lee Ortega on recently, the new ED, and she's helping to chart a even more aggressive and, I think, beneficial path for our good friends at what is now referred to as Lemoyne Arts. Okay, so a little rebranding going on over there, Lemoyne Arts. And this is their 55th annual The Art of Giving holiday show. And they're, let's see, they're open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, and then 10 to 8 on Friday and Saturday, Sundays 1 to 5, down there on North Gadsden Street, just at the basically off the intersection there of Call and Gadsden. Great organization. Speaking of art education, we'll talk with Marilyn about that a little bit too. But so be sure to check out Lemoyne. Make that part of your festive holiday celebrations. You know, this is what really makes the time of year we enjoy the Christmas season so special, because you get involved in all kinds of activities that are just, yeah, man, they're just refreshing and helps reconnect us to the stuff that matters most, I think. So we got the holiday tour of homes presented by the Tallahassee Symphony Society. That goes from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Tickets are $25. This is the second day and the last day of that two-day opportunity, holiday tour of homes and Tallahassee Symphony Society. You can Google that and find out more. Then you have the winter open house tonight, or from 10 a.m. today until 3 p.m. this afternoon. This is free. It's the winter open house at the Grove, presented by the Grove Museum. Just little ideas here for you. Leon County Library lecture series going on today. Digital storytelling presented by Leon County Government at the Leroy Collins Public Library downtown. That's at 3 o'clock. That's free. See, we're all into this free stuff. This is great. This is Tallahassee doing its thing. Then you have the ballet. Tallahassee Ballet is doing the Nutcracker, Ruby Diamond. Got to go online, check that out. Tickets are available there at the door at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall tonight and tomorrow. Let's see what else we got. Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, that's coming up the 14th and 15th, so that's next weekend. Holiday Magic, prices vary. Go to online, check them out. Concert time is 8 o'clock. See, this is just, I'm just scratching the surface. Just skating across the pond, as it were. What else? Okay, that's good for holiday stuff. Here's some more practical information related to stormy weather. You know, our Tallahassee Prepared promotion goes on year-round, because staying prepared for severe weather is not a season. It's an attitude. So our goal in this is to keep you and I both thinking about, wait a minute, heavy rain, possible flooding, possible damage to my house. Right. So Leon County is right there for us. And you got water coming at you again, rain this weekend, as we had, my goodness, last weekend. I thought we were all going to float away. Well, it ain't going away yet. So you got more of that, and Leon County's got sandbagging opportunities for us. If you want to get some sandbags around your house or your garage or whatever you need, let's see. So the weekend shall bring likely another 2 to 4 inches expected. So there are six sandbag locations. And they open up. They opened up actually Thursday this week. And you can go online, go to LeonCountyFL.gov, and you can find out where those locations are nearest you, so you can get some sandbags if you need them. Good thing to do. And with all the rainfall, watch out for accumulation, because you're going to have the possibility of encouraging mosquitoes, right? Standing water. That's kind of how that works. Folks, we're going to have a great show. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right back.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best. And I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee's art community, as it is and has become and is becoming, recognizes the proficiencies of so many of its members, those who've contributed artistically, those who've contributed to the advancement of this arts community, particularly visual arts, are among us. And one of those very capable artists is a woman named Marilyn Proctor. And Dr. Proctor is with us here this morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
With us. And so wanting to be transparent here, I'll tell you that Marilyn and I have known each other by extension over many years, because she has taught her 33 years as an art educator. She has taught at Lincoln High School. And so with my four having all attended Lincoln High School, all of them having had opportunity with Marilyn, I think, except for maybe Stefan. I don't know if Stefan was ever in any of your classes.
I knew who he was.
He was out and around.
He was in the
thespian arts.
That's correct.
Stage arts.
There you go.
But Morgan and Carl, Brianna, all I know participated with you as students. And so I know you by that reputation.
Correct.
What I have discovered along the way is your remarkable contribution as an artist. And that work on display for us, most conveniently, at LeMoyne, including their current holiday show. So you have, as is customary for the holiday show, you have these marvelous spheres, ornaments, I guess, right, that you've created. Tell us about the background on how this all came about.
Well, several years ago, I had a show at LeMoyne in the Emerging Gallery, in which I was able to display my ceramic raku spheres. And as one of the curators mentioned, he said, you know, if people don't buy your large spheres, they might be interested in your smaller ones, which I created as test tiles for the larger ones.
I see.
And so I ended up, from that idea, turning some of my smaller test tiles into little ornaments.
I got you.
And so for years I was selling the raku ornaments. They've evolved into other materials, such as wood right now, which I'm selling wooden ornaments.
Wow.
That are Tallahassee themed. That's my favorite thing now.
Really?
To promote Tallahassee.
Cool. Tell us about ceramic raku. I'm not familiar with the process and the medium.
It's a technique in which you put a particular glaze on the piece, and when you fire it, you remove it from the kiln. And when you remove it from the kiln, you put it in a can with combustible items. And once that glaze starts to cool off, it cracks and it creates seams in which the smoke seeps into the seams of the cracked glaze and creates this kind of a beautiful line work all over the pieces that are can only be achieved one time. You'll never get that pattern ever again.
Entirely spontaneous.
Correct, correct.
Unduplicated.
Correct. So that's a one time, that ornament or whatever you buy that has been recouped is can never be replicated again.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in that way, you came to this because of your love of ceramics, or how did that come about?
Well, actually, Robin Rogers, an artist who's been around Tallahassee forever, back in the day when I was in college, used to teach at, it was classes like CPE, where you could take a class on the side, and he would teach that technique. And I caught up with him again as an adult and started going to workshops with him that he would conduct at his home. And then I finally bought my own kiln, and then I started doing it at my home.
Wow.
So.
And as a working artist, clearly, is it characteristic of those in art, especially visual art, that there's always something left undone? There's always another part of the canvas that we haven't yet touched.
It's the tool belt syndrome. You have all these tools that that are accessible to you, so you're adding constantly to what you already create. So it's a mixing of tools and techniques and styles and things that you gather along the way and you learn from others.
And in that capacity, you think that the Tallahassee, you said you're celebrating things related to Tallahassee, celebrating this town. The art community here as such is supportive and vibrant and such? Or how would you describe it?
It really is. The gift shops here in town, when people come to visit, they want to leave with a piece of something that represents the place that they visited. So I have started making my way around to some of our wonderful historic sites and kind of talking to people and letting them know what I'm doing. And they've really they're buying in, and so I'm creating things locally that represents us well, that people, when they visit, can leave with that piece of Tallahassee, like Bradley's Country Store and Mission St. Louis, and just the gift shops in Tallahassee Capital gift shops. I have lots of things there.
You've been here a while, 33 years teaching at Lincoln. You received your Bachelor of Fine Arts, Florida State, and then went on and received your doctorate at Florida State in art.
Correct.
Art education.
Art education.
Academically, then you have your roots planted pretty deeply here, but you originally are from Oklahoma.
Yes.
Right?
Lawton, Oklahoma.
So I think we understand that there are some shared loyalties between the Oklahoma Sooners and Florida State Seminoles.
Correct.
And your dad was military, so you traveled about?
We did travel. We were in Germany for a little bit, and we spent a majority of our time in Lawton, Oklahoma. My mother's home is Tallahassee, so he retired, we ended up back here in Tallahassee, which we're happy. It's a really great town.
Yeah, it is a good town. We have found ourselves among those like you who have traveled a great deal and have at the same time careers in either performing art, visual arts, musical arts, even culinary art.
Oh, yes.
Their exposure to other cultures is key to that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious as to how that happened for you as a kid. You know, your dad traveling about, you being a military family.
Right.
Whether that, as you look at it, does that represent some kind of impact?
Well, the impact to me as a military brat is the fact that you really get along with just about anybody.
You learn quickly.
You do. You make friends fast because you may not be there long, but you make good friends. And we were just those kids who, at some point in time, there were five children in our family. We were friend and foe because we moved together as a group.
Yeah.
But anytime we were exposed to other people, we just loved it. And I think the opportunity to travel outside of the United States as a young person just opens your eyes to so much. We always had that travel bug in us and that desire to meet and know other people. So as an adult, I got a chance to go to Africa, and that kind of changed my style.
We're going
to
talk about that. We've got Marilyn Proctor here with us this morning, my friend, and she is a longtime educator, 33 years at Lincoln High School, an accomplished artist in her own right. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Dr. Marilyn Proctor, local artist, someone who, for her part, has contributed sizably, not only to the art of our community, we'll say, but to the well-being of and even the education of other artists. Is it difficult for you to decide, or is there any kind of discussion that involves you deciding which is more rewarding for you, the educational aspects of what you do, the creative aspects, or is it all sort of blended?
It blends. And yeah. And what I want the kids to know, because this is how I came about being an art teacher in art in high school in Oklahoma. I had an amazing art teacher, and she would teach, she'd get us started, and then she would pull aside. She had her own little drafting table, and she would work on her art. I said, this is the profession for me, where you can teach your students, and then you still had a time to be a practicing artist. So that's what that lead-in was for me.
Interesting.
And what happens with my students now, and you know, ever since I've been teaching, I tell them, if you're going to major in art, if you're going to go out there and do something in the arts, please take the time to come back and share what you have learned so that the kids can know what's out there. Mm. And also, I'll need to know what I need to do to up my game to prepare the kids that I have to be ready for the world.
Right. We had Lee Ortega with us here recently, the new executive director for Lemoyne Arts, and asked her that question in a similar way, or asked her what it is that she sees in an artist, especially a young artist, a new artist, that tells her this is somebody who really needs to keep going. They need to continue to perfect their craft. They have that potential. Are you able to do that with students even at the high school level?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It just rises to the surface, and you as an advanced art teacher, I teach advanced placement art. I act as a facilitator in those courses because I don't want to stifle them. I want their style to rise up and come out, and you offer them the feedback, but you try not to direct them so much that they become you. I very rarely show them my artwork because I don't want them to create work that looks like mine to please me. In the end, I show them my artwork. You know, right when they're about to graduate, I'll pull out my portfolio.
So the creative enterprise itself is a delicate thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Unlike us, let's say, learning formulas and equations that are established, they don't change necessarily. Although I'm sure in science, and I would think that science offers a creative element when it comes to research.
Right.
But when it's a creative endeavor, whether it's literature, art, music, there's that aspect, isn't it?
Yes, there is.
You have to remain a bit, what did you say, curative, I guess.
That's correct.
You sort of watch and help them discover for themselves where they need to go.
Offer some, you know, maybe some a new material that they're not, you know, familiar with. So you're giving them some new tools to apply to what they already, you know, their style that they already have.
I got you. So and that was how it was for you with
this
work that we now get to go and see, and we can purchase Boys and Girls if you go to Lemoyne Arts holiday show currently going now through the 23rd of December, extended hours. They're open Sunday afternoons through the holiday, which normally they are not, but it happens that Marilyn has her work there among the many artists who are offering us some rather delectable goodies that we can purchase and enjoy in our homes.
As you think about it, now you mentioned that you're working in wood, cedar, I guess you said?
Or cherry wood.
Cherry wood.
Mm-hmm.
More difficult, though, right?
Well, I'm engraving. I have a graphic design background, so I love creating patterns and designs, and being able to now take that this new tool in my tool belt and apply that to wood has been amazing, and it's been really fun.
So, are these then solid?
They are
wood spheres.
They're solid, and they're circular. And carved into.
I see.
So the ceramic pieces are spherical that I used to make, but now the wooden ones are flat.
I see.
And it's been really fun.
Oh, those that you've had as students, they do come back?
They come back.
And maintain that connection with you?
They do. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a student who was there one of my first or second years teaching, who we are now collaborating artistically on projects. So it's really amazing. I've had interns who are now teachers at other schools, and they're just continuing on doing that important thing.
You know what I like too is that your career flies in the face of this sort of pejorative saying that those who can't teach they can't do, so they teach. Boy, you have blown that out of the water. Because here you are in 33 years contributing to the careers of so many artists, and yourself not only doing your own work, but expanding that work. And I think you were telling me earlier about a conference you attended recently having to do with computer coding.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, I teach digital design 1 through 4 also at Lincoln, and we like to introduce them to things beyond just learning Photoshop. I like to teach them how to use Illustrator, how to use a 3D printer. We have several 3D printers at our school. And in addition to that, I wanted them to, a lot of kids are interested in game design and programming. So that's why I was really interested in taking this workshop. And I'm now going to be teaching them what I learned next week, because December 3rd through the 9th, I believe, is the National Hour of Code.
Oh, neat.
And so every kid, every adult, everyone should be coding during that week. And so we will be doing... So we'll be using Python, and we'll be learning game design. And so I'm so excited. And I mentioned it to them today when I got back. So
indeed,
they're excited as well.
When you think of the status of, we talked about this a little bit earlier, the arts community, we'll say, in Tallahassee, and having been here for better than 3 decades, and this being your home, are there aspects of where we are that you relish, that you think, I wish we would be more this way or that way, or how would you describe, I guess, where we are in terms of our development of art in Tallahassee? I mean, where do we scale, I guess, in relation to other communities?
I think Lemoyne has really helped us, and we do have a university as well, but I think we're pretty high on the scale here. This is a very artsy area. And I appreciate the support that we're getting from the universities and the galleries here in town. Mm-hmm. And I think our students are seeing, you know, it is a viable area to go into as a profession. Mm-hmm. There are phases that we used to go through where parents weren't letting their kids major in art. You know, what are you going to become?
Right.
An artist? That was not acceptable. It is now more acceptable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have curators, we have educators, we have different professions for our artists. But mm-hmm. game design, animation, film, graphic design, interior design, so many professions are open to our students. And Tallahassee is a great place for those kids to learn that. Mm. Architecture, you know, we have great schools here in town.
And you referenced your interest in the impact that digital technologies have in this world of art and art education.
Good.
Does that, for you, seem in some way... a substitution for personal technical ability? And I talked to Dave Barfield a lot about this, the work of a photographer in the digital climate that we are in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kind of artistry there that is sort of lost, I guess, or sort of passé, that the photographers don't work in film any longer. They're all working in digital, or most of them. Right. And yet there's a kind of artistry that is part of that original film world, right?
Right, exactly.
You find that to be true here with your art?
Well, I've been around long enough to know so many techniques. Like, I know how to process film the original way, but I know the digital method as well. Mm. So the crossover that occurred is so important, but the chemicals that were involved in that, we don't need that anymore,
you know?
So it was good to move and transition to the next phase. But I tell all of my students, you're going to need to know some digital skills, including my interns. Mm-hmm. So traditional skills are great, and the blending of them are amazing. Mm-hmm. So you need both. You have to have digital skills right now.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Marilyn Proctor, our guest this morning. We're going to continue in just a moment. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes, the men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Sperry & Associates, planning, design, and construction since 1973. Online at sperryconstruction.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Marilyn Proctor. Art in Tallahassee, LeMoyne Arts, its contribution historically, your work as an art educator over 33 years, Lincoln High School. This is now your 33rd year, I guess, isn't it?
Correct.
Right? What do you see happening? Where do you see us going? If I look forward to the development of art in Tallahassee, even if you want to talk about that on a national scale, Florida State University remains one of those art schools from around the country that are prominent.
Right.
And you think of your role in that and your connection to the local community. What do you anticipate? What do you look forward to see happening?
Well, I love that our Lincoln students who are interested in art, some of them are starting to stay in this community. A lot of them were starting to move off and go to, you know, different universities, but they're realizing that TCC is that, you know, 13th and 14th year, they have a great art program there. Mm-hmm. So those teachers that are there teaching our students, continuing that tradition of teaching them art is amazing. And then they're transitioning to FSU and to FAMU in the arts program, which I'm very proud of. Mm-hmm. And now our students are realizing with some of the artsy environments around, like Railroad Square, 621, you know, those places that are staples here in Tallahassee and LeMoyne, they're realizing that they have a place or an avenue to display and get involved in their work. I have to give a shout out to the science teacher at Lincoln, who is an artist who has now discovered that he can have a show at LeMoyne. He is having a show in LeMoyne in December. Mr. Wright, I have to throw that out. He's amazing.
How cool is that?
It is amazing. Yeah. And now our students are going to know about that.
Yeah.
And just letting our students know that's the next step. You know, if you want to continue as an artist, there is a place here that you can showcase your work. You can become a true artist here in town. And
you said this earlier, art as a profession of choice hasn't always been
right
acceptable, the kind of thing that parents would get excited about more often. But you know what's cool to me is that not only do we see art in everyday life, we see more and more opportunities for people to participate as artists in a lot of different ways.
Correct.
It's not just oil on canvas.
Right.
It's not just sculpture. And you're pointing to this expansion and explosion of digital art that opens up all kinds of possibilities, right?
Correct, correct.
Yeah.
Getting them to see that the canvas, or in our sense, the computer, the image does not stay in the computer. Mm. And so even in my digital classroom, the image comes out of the computer several ways. We have a full screen press there so that the design can become a T-shirt. We have vinyl cutters so it can become something that is on a poster or whatever. We have the 3D printers where the design takes on shapes beyond the flat shape. So they have to know that it has to go beyond the computer screen and the canvas has to be expanded even more.
And how do you know as an artist and as especially an art educator when something is beyond being a craft or something crafty, it is truly art? Is there a way in which you come to that, or can you do you express that in a certain manner?
I just accept it all because the craft is important as well. The craft, practicing the craft more and more and blending that craft with other materials that are kind of non-craft, the blending is what's important.
So art is art.
Art is art.
And yet some are more celebrated than others. Some artists find a kind of celebration with their work that perhaps others don't. Why? How is that?
It's just that individual thing that's in us and being able to recognize it for what it is.
I guess what makes, what I would ask is what makes high art, if that's a reasonable phrase, such. What is it that you see that maybe we don't see? We recognize it and go, wow, that is a remarkable piece.
Right.
But you're seeing it through the eyes of an artist and an educator.
Right.
And I'm wondering what you see that I don't.
Well,
I
kind of see the foundational things that have been pounded in us when we were young, like the basic elements and principles of design, like the mathematician has like formulas and functions. But when you see those elements and principles of design kind of work together in a work of art, it just kind of works. And innately we see it and it kind of blends. You don't even have to pick it out anymore. It's just there.
I'm not a visual artist by any stretch, but I, like a lot of college kids, ended up taking the art appreciation class. The one thing I retained from that was the notion that even those who were considered pioneers, those who pushed at the rules and pushed the envelope, they themselves learned those fundamentals, those foundational ideas that you're referring to.
Correct.
And that's how they knew they were breaking the rule.
That's
because
right.
They knew what the rule was.
That's right.
So when you work with an artist at any stage of development as an educator, are you looking at that? Are you saying, okay, before you can create something completely offbeat, you have to be aware of and be adherent to these ideas?
Correct.
Is that part of the process?
That is part of the process, starting with the basics and the foundation and then breaking out of that.
Yeah. I would imagine that with younger students, that might be easier, or is it more difficult?
No, it actually is easier, as long as it's kind of, we believe in presenting things in chunks and pieces that in building on the process. And once that happens, they get an understanding. And then again, it becomes the tools and the tools, but tool belt.
Yeah.
And then they have that to use later on in their work and just reminding of them what they learned.
You said that before, tools and the tool belt. What
Correct.
Does that mean?
Well, it's resources. Not only just tools as in the physical tool, it's people, it's where you've been, your background, your foundation.
What are you drawing from?
Exactly.
For inspiration.
Correct. And for me, it's a blending of materials also, like working with glass and ceramics and using the digital aspect. All of that has come together in my work. Yvonne Tucker, I talked with her a couple of years ago, and she's like, I was telling her what I was doing, and I needed some validation at some point. She said, it will all come together. So I always remember that. At some point, it will all, and she's right, the blending is happening.
Does that mark a kind of, I don't know, we'll call it a difference, but a certain characteristic about an artist that they go from the outside world, and that's where they find inspiration, as opposed to somebody who is just fascinated with the medium itself and continues to explore how that medium works? And I'm thinking of some of the classics, where the way in which color playing on the canvas itself was sort of the inspiration, as opposed to somebody who comes from this impassioned way of viewing the world and then tries to figure out, how do I get that
right
to show up in my art, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So are those are, I guess you might say, two different points of departure.
Right, correct.
And yours sounds like more the medium itself. You have that going on for you, huh?
Right. You have the medium at some point, and then the ideas mm-hmm. come up in my head, I know, and I have to get it out. I have to experiment and try it. Mm-hmm. It may be a failure. Oh, my goodness. It may be. I have mm-hmm. so many failures, mm-hmm. but it's great because you learn from them.
I
do embrace that, the that you will always learn from your experiment.
Well, we certainly can apply that easily, I think, in any endeavor. Shouldn't we all say, from our failures, we gather understanding and learning. Well said, teacher, the fact that you bring us to that as our close here. Marilyn Proctor, beloved by so many in this community for so many years, teaching over there at Lincoln High School Art Education. We'll continue to look forward to more great stuff from you, and we will be certain to be in attendance there at Lemoyne Art so we can see the work you have on display.
Thank you.
During their holiday show.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Folks, that's what I have for you here at the moment. Stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh-made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients, and made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks, available online, TallahasseeTalks.com. All of the shows archived for your convenience. You can go there and you can subscribe to the podcast. It's a nice way to do that. If you're listening on 93.3 FM here in Tallahassee, welcome to you, my friend. Glad that you're with us. Real Talk. Real Talk Radio over there with John Jopling and company. Hard-working crew they are, a good team, like every one of those people. Greg Tisch included. Can you believe this? Greg Tisch, his own show, weekday mornings there at 93.3. What a hoot. I mean, what's not to love about this guy? Come on. Just got to get to know him, right? That's the way it is. Now, with me, it's the opposite. The more you get to know me, the more you realize your first impressions were exactly on target. Do not like that guy. It's okay. I'm an easy target. Let's see here. We have announcements aplenty. I want to make sure that you're aware of some things going on with county. Let's see. This is cool. Leon County Library Lecture Series, Digital Storytelling, Retelling the Great American Read. This is happening today at 3 o'clock. Leon County, in partnership with WFSU-TV and a grant from the Florida Humanities Council for Digital Storytelling, the main Leon County Library downtown. Cool. 3 o'clock. Do that. Leon County believes that strong and united neighborhoods make up the foundation of our community. To better serve our citizens, Leon County has created a resource for citizens in the community to access the information they need. So stay informed. LeonCountyFL.gov Neighborhood Services. LeonCountyFL.gov/neighborhood services. All right. These are just little tidbits courtesy of Moose and Company here. Leon County is proud to offer the Adopt a Tree program. If you live inside Leon County but outside of Tallahassee City limits, you may qualify to have a tree
planted on your property for free. If you agree to water the tree 3 times a week for 1 year. I don't water the trees I have 3 times. Carl? No. Well, okay. Never mind. If you agree to water the tree 3 times a year, 3 times a week. See, I'm already going there. 3 times a year. That poor tree would be dead. Oh, man. Okay. 3 times a week for 1 year, Leon County Public Works will plant the tree anywhere between your house and any publicly maintained road or any privately maintained road with public access. Okay. This is cool. And I think they have a variety of trees, 3 different kinds you can choose from. So anyway, check that out. growinggreen.org/adopt-a-tree. That's a good idea, especially if you lost some trees with all the hurricane winds that we've endured. And speaking of that, the recovery efforts are ongoing. And my friend, I have to tell you, if you haven't thought through this, it's easy to get caught up in all of our day-to-day and the rush of holidays and all the good stuff. It's all there for us, of course, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Your friends and neighbors may not fully understand exactly how the disaster assistance programs are working. You know, and so it's really our responsibility to look at a situation. We're feet on the ground. You're driving around or you're in your neighborhood and you see somebody that's still struggling. So you can reach out to them. Maybe you don't have the resources to help them directly. Maybe you do. But they need to know that they can register and get the help they need. They may be eligible for programs that FEMA is offering. So look at your friends and neighbors. Encourage them to take the first step toward obtaining recovery assistance. You can register with FEMA. Now, the deadline to apply is upon us. It's this coming Monday, the 10th. Maybe they haven't registered with FEMA because they already have insurance. Well, but sometimes damage is found that insurance won't cover, but federal disaster assistance may. So be proactive is the point here. Not to mention our friends at the Christmas Connection are doing what they can to offer more assistance than ever. You know, Christmas Connection has been doing this for over 3 decades, and it's been our pleasure to be a part of helping them. So annually, all of us here at Alcom put together a program that we call Help Christmas Connection, simply enough. And what we do then is advertise throughout the region, encouraging you and I to give generously. And you can do that conveniently enough by dropping off donations here at our studios or at any of the 3 Gain Street Pies locations, Gain Street, East Side, and Midtown. Gain Street Pies is receiving donations, as are the good folks at Tallahassee Nurseries in their retail office. Or you can go up to Morningstar Storage up there on the north end at around Benton. Bannerman, sorry. So on the northeast side of town, you got Morningstar, you got Tallahassee Nurseries that's a bit more central, and then you have Midtown Pies, Gain Street Pies East, and Gain Street Pies Central down there on Gain Street. So 5 locations around the area where you can drop off any kind of donation, clothing, non-perishable food items, and certainly unwrapped toys are always welcome for boys and girls and teens. Don't forget. Hundreds of families, thousands of children across our community are benefited because you and I took the time to do something of this nature, to give as we can to bring assistance. And a lot of that assistance this year is going to be in the form of blankets and shoes. Some of these families that are to the west of us, Gaston County and beyond, yeah, Christmas Connection doesn't limit itself to a couple of zip codes. Now, this is covering a number of counties, and those affected by Hurricane Michael most directly are in dire need of our help. Keep them mindful. Keep them in the conversations that you're having. Don't let it pass to the side. If this indeed is the celebration of light and hope and joy in the Christmas season, if indeed Christ came to bring us life more abundantly, let's take that life we have and share it abundantly with those who are in the greatest need among us. We all should be celebrating the blessings, the joy that we are enjoying, that we have with one another, the friendships, the family, the businesses that we're a part of. That is our thing to do when it comes to celebrating with music and parties and all of that, the gift giving, the tours, the museums. They're all ready to remind us of how blessed we are. Let's do the same for those who may not be able to participate in any of those activities or those events. Let's take that joy, that light, that love, and share it more directly with those who are most in need. Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WhiddonGlass.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Many of you know our good friend, Robert Clary, who has been working hard of late, and even harder more lately, to try to protect us from ourselves, I think. Certainly protect me from myself. He is the man in charge of getting us educated and aware and informed. He is now the staff captain in charge of educational resources over there at Tallahassee Fire Department. Let's welcome our good friend Robert Clary. How are you, sir?
Fine. Thank you for having me today.
I mean, it's always a pleasure and an opportunity for this guy to take some very important points, take some notes on some things. And, of course, with the holidays upon us, I'm especially aware of the fact that fire safety can get kind of stretched. I mean, we do things around the house because we're decorating. We're putting up Christmas trees and wreaths and, you know, we're deep frying turkeys or whatever. Maybe we're doing a little cookout there. Maybe we've got a little bonfire going on with the colder weather out back. And, you know, with your kinds of concerns, I would imagine this puts a little bit more strain on the old TFD, doesn't it?
Well, yes, this time of year, the call volumes do go up from anything from house fires to grass fires because of the dryness.
Yeah.
So we're on our toes this time of year trying to keep everybody safe, but also trying to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah, it's like a back and forth. Of course, lately we had a tremendous amount of rainfall, so that sort of helps you guys out, right? Helps us all out.
Right.
We're not dealing with some of the wildfire issues. Nonetheless, now we're in a period of relatively dry weather and dry air, so we're kind of back at that. Pine straw is always an issue too, isn't it?
Yes, pine straw during this time of year, everything's dry, but we had an unseasonal amount of wet weather these last couple of weeks. So that's helping keep the wildfires down, like you said. But, you know, as we move into the winter months and people start heating their homes, that's things that we have to look out for, because you have to have 3 feet away from any heating equipment that you want to use, from any combustible equipment.
Doesn't it seem like that every year you have at least one or two folks with a space heater, whether it's electric or kerosene, and they set it right up there next to the bed or the draperies, and then they fall asleep and overnight, and next thing we know, we've got a fire going on.
Absolutely. So you don't want to go to sleep with any heating equipment on. Bundle up at night, keep yourself warm that way, but you don't want to leave any kind of heating equipment on at night. Your fireplace, space heaters, kerosene heaters, and always keep them 3 feet minimum away from anything that combustible.
Okay. I know that you have a number of programs with TFD that have helped a lot of us. Tell us about some of that stuff you've got going on.
Well, we try and keep information flowing throughout the year, through our Facebook, me going out and being interactive with the community, sharing educational information. One program that we have that we started at Dorothy Oven B. Park is to keep the reef green, where we have green bulbs on a reef out there. And what we do is every time we have a residential fire, we change the bulb to red. And unfortunately, this year, as of December the 3rd, we've already put 3 lights from green to red at a cost of about $90,000 in damages.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last year, what was the total there?
Last year, we got up to around about $791,000 worth of damages. So,
and the causes often are related to just carelessness, people not thinking through?
Well, the biggest, you know, accidents do happen, but the biggest reason for fires is human carelessness. Not taking care of your equipment, not making sure your equipment is working properly and still using it, not using it to the manufacturer's specifications.
Okay, and we're talking about heating equipment.
Heating equipment, cooking equipment, you know.
Grease fires,
candles, leaving your candles unattended is a major cause of fires. You know, everybody likes to burn candles in the holiday season, get in the holiday festive mood. You're not supposed to leave your room with a candle on. You're not supposed to go to bed with your candle on. All candles should be out whenever you leave the room, the house, or go to sleep, as well as your space heaters. It's the same thing with your space heaters. Or when you're cooking, you know, you don't want to leave your stove on, cooking something on the stovetop, and leave out of the room because you go out, forget about it, get on the phone, and all of a sudden,
and a grease fire can be a real danger. I mean, a life threatening sort of thing. The fire itself, as well as the damage that it would do, it reminds me of Sonny's restaurant over here on the Timber Lane. Here, I guess, a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
And they must have had a grease fire, I guess it was, because it was in the kitchen.
Yes, sir. So most fires in the home do start in the kitchen, and Sonny's as well. But you have to keep in mind to, like I said, keep your grease down to a minimum in your kitchen by cleaning your stove, cleaning your stovetop, making sure your elements are working correctly. And when you have a cleaner surface, there's less to catch on fire,
sure,
because the grease buildup is
That the rule? It's fuel, oxygen, right? And what was the time, I guess?
Well, you have the fuel, you have the oxygen, and you have the heating element. You have to have those three things in a tetrahedron for a fire to happen.
So you put all that together, and you're just begging for trouble. Christmas trees are a big part of that too, right?
Yes. So Christmas trees, people like to have the real tree. Sometimes, and you have to make sure that they don't dry out. So you're supposed to water them every day at the base, so it gets that fluid in there, that nourishment, and keeps the leaves and the pines full of water, so they are less likely to catch fire.
Okay, so keep your tree watered, keep your heating equipment 3 feet or greater away from any bedding or drapery. Don't leave the house with candles burning. This seems pretty common sense to me. Why?
Well, people get distracted, and you know, they get distracted.
Okay, now that's the I can relate to.
Yeah, they get distracted and they just don't pay attention and just forget that they have something on in the other room, leave out, and you know.
My wife is always on me. That I mean, I'm in there cooking away, and she'll like, "Hey, do I smell something burning in the kitchen?" I'm like, "Sure, it's supposed to be whatever." All right, we have Robert Clary. He's standing in with us this morning to keep us better protected from the hazards of our own carelessness. And we're going to keep him on here for a little bit longer. He is the staff captain in charge of all of this educational resource that comes our way, courtesy of the good men and women who are Tallahassee Fire Department. They are not only your friend, they're the friend to this community and have done a fantastic job trying to keep us all between the, you know, between the lines, along the straight and narrow, we'd say. Folks, you stay with me. You're in touch with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Staff Captain Robert Clary, Tallahassee Fire Department. It is the holiday season when things like Christmas trees and wreaths and candles are all of that a part of our daily lives. And with that, we have this increase in concern for fire safety. And our good friend, Staff Captain Clary, is here to try to keep us on the straight and narrow. When you talk with, and I know you're in the business of education and talking with business owners, homeowners, day in and day out, week after week, what are some of the more common questions that you get, or some of the things that you discover that people just don't even think about, they don't realize that they need to be aware of?
Well, one of the biggest things is having a working smoke detector in your house. People don't check them. You're supposed to check the smoke detector every month. Mm-hmm. They have a test button on them. If you push that button down for a second and hold it, it'll sound off and let you know it's ready to go. Also, you're supposed to change the battery every 6 months, unless you have a new detector. The new ones are, you can buy new ones that's a 10-year lithium, and they will be in place until 10 years, and then the alarm will go off letting you know you need to buy a new one.
Okay.
Fire extinguishers, people have them in their home. They think they have protection, and they let them expire and just sit there. And then when it's time to use it, it's not ready to go.
And how is that? Because the fire extinguisher itself has a lifespan?
It does have a lifespan. So when you buy it, it should have an expiration date on it to let you know.
Okay, so over time it just loses pressure? It doesn't have the ability to propel? Or
sometimes they can lose pressure. If you look at the little dial on it, it'll have a yellow marker that's supposed to be in the green.
Okay.
If it's not in the green, it's probably lost pressure.
Okay.
But the chemicals inside of the extinguisher can settle over time, and that's why the extinguisher won't work when it's time to.
And let's talk about that. We were in discussion earlier about grease fires. A lot of cooking going on between now and, you know, New Year's. Having an extinguisher somewhere near the kitchen area is not a bad idea.
Absolutely. So I always encourage people to go out to your local hardware store and buy a fire extinguisher for your home, an ABC extinguisher. And don't keep it directly next to the stove, because if a big fire breaks out, you're not going to be able to get to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. You know? So have it in a location where you can retreat and grab it and then come back to the fire.
Absolutely.
But not too far away.
Right, right. I would say on the other side of the kitchen, of the stove area. That way, if you have a fire on top of the stove or in the oven, you won't have to get that close to the fire to retrieve your fire extinguisher.
Folks, this is full transparency here. I, you know, one of the joys of my life, culinary art and such. And my dad was in the restaurant business 47, 48 years, grew up in that business. Did a lot of cooking professionally. Loved to cook during the holidays for my family. And so on this one occasion years ago, yes, I set the oven on fire. And you might say, oh, man, why are we not surprised? But it really happened because of, guess what, grease. And it was grease that was related to some cooking that I was doing in the oven. Grease spilled over, bottom of the oven, and there you go. So, you know, it was the movie scene from Santa Claus where the guy's grabbing the extinguisher and just nailing that turkey. Well, be that as it may, when you say to yourself, yeah, well, that's Brian, I mean, everybody knows he's an idiot, be careful, because I certainly didn't imagine that that could have possibly happened. I mean, again, I'm pretty experienced, been in and around the kitchen a long time. Don't take chances, right? Be advised that it can happen to you too. And as you say, we get distracted, don't we?
We do get distracted, but making sure that your equipment is in working order is the main thing, Brian. I've been to oven fires that has been caused by grease and heat, but also sometimes the little element at the bottom of the oven will, for whatever reason, break apart, and you know, due to age, and that will cause a fire. So if you have grease build up in the bottom and then that thing breaks and starts a flame, you're going to have a real big problem real fast.
Well, there you go. If we are to learn more about these kinds of safety ideas, you have resources online, don't you?
Absolutely. Go to our Facebook page, Tallahassee Fire Department, on Facebook, and we'll have all kind of information on the holiday safety tips.
Okay. And I know that you also have in possession some publication, something that you were handing out last time you were here about fire safety. I remember that.
Yes, I pass out public safety information everywhere I go. I'm involved in the school system, so when I go out to visit schools, talk to them about fire safety, hopefully to get their parents involved,
sure.
and create that triangle where
I bet the kids absolutely love seeing you walk in the door.
Usually they do, Brian. And you know, being a fireman and interacting with kids is one of the major joys of my job.
Yeah. What do they ask you more often?
They ask me, where's the truck?
And where's the Dalmatian dog?
Yeah, and where's the dog?
Right. Meanwhile, the technological advancements, and cameras are one of those, have made your job, would you say, easier, more efficient? Are you seeing a decline in the incidence of fires? How is that all impacting what you do?
Well, the technological advances have helped us in the fire service, but it hasn't decreased necessarily call volumes. Roughly nationally, 100 firefighters die per year. So, you know, part of my job as education, I feel, is to try and help the public decrease these fires and thus decrease the amount of calls we go on, and hopefully decrease people getting injured or death.
Sure. And most of those calls locally are households, or are they business, or how does the ratio work out?
We have both, but more likely you'll have a residential fire. Most of the buildings in Tallahassee are sprinklered, so that helps us on that case.
Right. As was the case with the Sonny's Barbecue Restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you
it's
know,
mandatory.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, City of Tallahassee is very proactive in having businesses sprinkler the buildings.
If you think about talk about residential homes that are built in the last 5 years, 10 years, are they better able to deal with fire or the threat of it? Are we seeing advances in construction materials that are more, let's say, fire retardant, or that is there a kind of awareness there, do you think, or do we need to do a better job of it?
Well, homes do have fire retardant material in them. They have for a long time. The thing with the fire retardant materials is that now you're introducing more chemicals into the compound of the structure.
And for us, they may not burn, but right. they'll smoke.
But they'll smoke, and for us as firefighters, whenever we go to a situation yeah. like that, we have to have our breathing apparatus on because of the toxicity in the air around.
And that's like that. Isn't that the case that it's the smoke more often that
it's
kills
the smoke,
people?
Yeah. yeah, or cancer or other diseases
that make them later.
Exactly, yeah. firefighters are among the highest in wow. cancer related deaths.
Wow. Okay. Well, talking here with the Staff Captain Robert Clary, he is in charge of getting us better informed with all of the educational activities that TFD does throughout the year, but especially during the holidays. Thought it would be appropriate to bring you to us and give us updates on what we need to be thinking about. So we've got heaters.
Heaters, not leaving your heaters on yep. at night while you're sleeping.
Right.
Not leaving your heaters on while you're away, making sure that it's a 3 feet minimum.
And candles.
It. Yes,
right.
and candles. Don't have the candles on.
Right.
Also, you know, you have the decorations. Make sure your decorations aren't going to be impeded to cause a fire if they're around there. Check your fireplace. Your fireplace, you should yeah. be checking it once every year, have
right.
a certified professional come out, whether it's gas or whether it's wood. They still need to be inspected. Those gas logs, the burners,
right.
they don't last forever.
And the chimney.
And you should have your gas uh-huh. lines checked as well before you start burning those
okay.
logs to make sure you don't have any leaks
okay.
or anything like that.
And then there's the smoke detectors and the fire extinguishers.
Right. And, you know, yeah. above all of that, you know, having working equipment in your home, making sure that it's working properly and having an evacuation plan set for your whole family for you know how to get out of your home.
Sure.
Two ways out of every room, a meeting place outside. Make sure you have a visible address on the outside of your house so that if we come in the middle of the night, we can find you readily available by that address.
Great advice. Thank you, my dear friend, Staff Captain Robert Clary. Always a pleasure, sir. Tallahassee Fire Department on the job for you and I. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Brian.
Folks, you stay with me. We got more right after this.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us. Forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you. Our heroes, the men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Dr. Eve James and her entire staff at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, online at southernsmilesfl.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are at the end of the show. I've got Danny Bedrosian, who was in the studio last week, or earlier this week, I guess, and recorded with his band, Somepin' Fierce, great little tune called Country Life, which seems quite appropriate, given that we are here in the country, called Tallahassee and Leon County and the Big Bend and all that sort of thing. You're going to like this tune as we close out the show. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. Find us online at moosemagnificat.com. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Been around the hall. I just don't want, I just don't.
Don't believe, ooh, yeah, yeah, oh.
At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh-made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients. And made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.